Well, just taking US data over this past week, it's been quite a mixed bag. We've still got one or two strong indications, but they're not as uniform as they've been over recent months. So, for example, the stronger ones were the purchasing managers' reports. So we had both the ISM manufacturing PMI for August and also the ISM non-manufacturing PMI. They're holding up reasonably well. So we had the manufacturing ISM PMI was expected to fade a bit from 59.5. It actually lifted to 59.9. And the ISM non-manufacturing PMI was at 64.1, was expected to come back well into the 61s. It did that, but that's still a reasonable reading at 61.7. Most other readings, though, just showing a bit of fade on them. We can see it, for example, in the consumer confidence survey for the month of August. That had a much bigger than expected drop, down to 113.8 from 125.1. We certainly saw it through the labour numbers, although again, mixed picture. We had the initial jobless claims for the most recent week, which were pointing to a strong labour market. They were one of the lowest readings we've seen so far in this cycle at 340,000, but then completely obliterated by the non-farm payroll numbers that came out on Friday, where non-farm payrolls were expected to rise by 728,000. They rose, but only by 235,000, and that was after two really strong months before that, so it looks as if there's been a bit of a dog leg down. In amongst all that, we had August average hourly earnings. Now, they're still holding up pointing to very, very good income growth still, as far as the US is concerned. So we had average hourly earnings, which were expected to lift by 0.4% month on month. They lifted by 0.6, and the annual rate of change on that's now lifted to 4.3% from 4.1%. So you've got a lot of good income growth there coming as far as the US is concerned. And the unemployment rate, because the participation rate in the US sort of faded away in this most recent month too, came down, and it came down to 5.2% from 5.4%. So as I say, pretty mixed bag, and what it suggests is a little bit of softness there running through economic activity. That plays to the hand of the Federal Reserve still maintaining very, very easy monetary policy. And after the numbers came out on Friday, a bit of speculation in markets that, that talk that maybe they would be starting to taper quantitative easing towards the end of this year, even that might get pushed out. So we end up with still quite low interest rates. Now, set against this, obviously we've still got a bit of inflation pressure coming through in various places. One of the other numbers we had last week was Case-Shiller house prices. And house prices rose, it's hard to believe they could rise more than expected. The market was expecting 1.7% month on month, but they rose 1.8% month on month. So as a result of that, the year-on-year change in U.S. house prices has now lifted from 17.1% to 19.1%. That's dwarfing even the rise in house prices we've had here in Australia. So really strong growth running through house prices, largely because of very, very easy monetary conditions. And this week in the United States, we haven't got an awful lot of information that's going to come out, but we will have a look at factory gate prices, producer prices. They'll come out on Friday. And for July, they're expected to rise by 0.6% month on month. That's not quite as huge as the 1% month on month lift we had the month before, but it will still be enough to lift the year on year to 8.2% from 7.8%. Now, the story from the Fed all the way through this is that, we can read through the inflation that's occurring at the moment. It's all about supply chain. That's affecting factory gate prices. In time, that will come back. And, fair enough, but it's looking as if this inflation is looking a bit more permanent. It'll be interesting to see how the market reacts to the PPI too when it comes out on Friday, because at some point you would expect that inflation persisting longer than expected and higher than expected would sort of start to lift interest rates a bit more powerfully than has been occurring so far. We've had a little bit of a lift running through bond yields over this past month, but nothing that compared with the way in which inflation seems to be running at the moment. Moving to China, and another one of these sort of conflicting things, you know, you've got inflation picking up around the world, but you've also got these worrying signs that maybe we've got this little bit of a edging down in growth, and that's becoming quite pronounced in China now for a number of reasons. For a start, Xi Jinping, with an eye towards the conference where he's hoping to really cement his position as supreme leader next year, he's taking a lot of actions now which are leading into that. And so, over the last month or two, getting stuck into billionaires in China, because that's not the socialist way. If you're going to be a billionaire, you've got to be head of the Communist Party, not some fly-by-night person coming up with ideas in tech. So he's really getting stuck into some groups there, getting stuck into computer games. He's getting stuck into any number of things that can be controlled, and the construction industry. The construction industry is a powerhouse in China, and it's a bit of a two-edged sword, because he knows that if he topples it over, you'll end up with the mother and father of a financial crisis running through China. So in the same breath as he's threatening certain large construction companies in China, he's also trying to pick the odd one or two up. And we're starting to see that sort of uncertainty about where China's going, reflecting in leading indicators now. It's particularly so in the services side. We had the manufacturing and services sector PMIs came out last week, both the official set and also the CAICSIN or private sector set. The manufacturing PMIs are really starting to fade. 50 is the expansion contraction line, and the August official manufacturing PMI came down to 50.1 from 50.4. But the CAICSIN manufacturing PMI came down from 50.3 to 49.2. But that paled compared with what happened to the services sector PMIs with this sort of cracking down that's been happening by President Xi of late. The services sector PMIs, which were really comfortably up there in the mid-50s in strong territory, they've gone into really weak territory in 1 month. We had the services sector official PMI came down from 53.3 to 47.5, and the CAICSIN services sector PMI, probably the more accurate one, came down from 54.9 to 46.7. That's a huge fall by the standards of these sorts of indicators in China, and is showing the level of uncertainty which is starting to develop. In some ways we've seen it. We get ebbing and flowing in terms of some key commodity prices, but one price which over the last month has come down a long way, of course, is the iron ore price, and that's coming back to the demand for that through construction in China. So just one or two of these indicators which are just a little bit worrying out of a place like China. This week we'll get the export and import data for the month of August. These have been very, very strong, but they're on the fade. So August exports are expected to come back to 17.1% year-on-year from 19.3%. Imports are expected to come back to 27% from 28.1%, going back the year before. We'll also get August CPI and producer prices coming out on Friday. The CPI in China is not too bad. That's running at 1% year-on-year, and it's expected to stay around that in the month of August. Producer prices lifted back in July to 9% year-on-year. They're expected to hold up at that 9% level for the most recent month. So, again, this story of factory gate prices around the world, the supply chain problems, are really elevating prices. And at some point, CPIs are going to reflect this, well, they already are in some cases, but it looks as if it's going to be more permanent than central bankers are trying to pretend at present. Moving on to Australia, and just the data coming through last week. You know, the key report, of course, was Q2 GDP, old figure. It was interesting that it was stronger than expected. So the market was looking for 0.5% quarter on quarter. Came in at 0.7, so the annual rate of change in GDP went up from 1.3% year on year, going back to Q1, to 9.6% year on year in Q2. Of course, we're going to get a fall off a cliff in Q3 because of lockdowns. Even Q2 had quite a few lockdown days in there, and the economy still tended to power ahead. And the strength was in things like government spending, household consumption expenditure was stronger than expected, and business investment spending and housing were stronger than expected, running through that Q2 GDP. And they entirely offset a very big drag to the economy from net exports. Net exports actually detracted a full percentage point from quarter-on-quarter GDP. In other words, if it hadn't have been for that drag from the net export sector, GDP would have been up 1.7% quarter-on-quarter rather than 0.7. So the domestic economy was really firing along still all the way through the June quarter. Why was the net export sector so weak? Already we were starting to see the China effect in volumes of exports. It was being masked, though, because prices of some key commodities were soaring. Export prices through Q2 rose by 13% quarter on quarter. So the volumes came back, but we barely saw it or noticed it in trade numbers because we had such large rises running through commodity prices. That also accounts for why things look better than they did running through the June quarter. Companies work not in real, the inflation deflated numbers, but in what they see in their nominal profits. And their nominal profits are soaring on the back of those commodity prices. And dividend payments been huge running through this company reporting season. That coming back, at some point helping to underpin incomes in Australia and also spending. We've got that little bit of a powerful offset that's been running through some of these numbers. Some of the data we got towards the end of the week, July housing finance numbers came out. 2 months in a row now, these have come down. It's the owner-occupiers are starting to fall out of the market now. The investors are actually coming back, and the finance to investors is rising. But all told, the value of housing finance commitments fell in July by 0.4% after falling 2.5% the month before. Still up over 80% year on year. We're past the super strength running through housing demand coming through from housing finance. Maybe we should expect just a little bit of a fade in housing strength over the course of the next month or two. Also, we had July international trade data. We're still running towards massive trade surpluses here, but it's largely prices which have been driving it. And so we ended up with a new record a trade surplus in a month. It went up to $12.1 billion in 1 month from $10.5 billion the month before. So still strength in nominal terms running through international trade. It's not quite there, though, when you look at the volumes. It's a price effect. Just this week coming through, we've got the RBA. What we're watching for with the RBA, of course, there's going to be no change in interest rates. Obviously, they're going to keep all those interest rate settings the same, and they will for months and months and months to come. But it's just they were talking a month ago about starting to taper quantitative easing, coming back to buying $4 billion worth of securities a month rather than five. there's a real chance that that may be delayed, because you know what the RBA didn't know when they had their last meeting was that COVID was going to intensify and it was going to make a bigger dent in Q3 growth than probably previously they were thinking. So you'd expect perhaps that change coming through at the RBA meeting this week. As for data, we've got ANZ job ads coming out today for the most recent month. They did fall going back to the month of July. We expect another small fall running through the month of August because of lockdowns. We've got business confidence and business conditions. Business conditions probably still holding up okay, round about, business confidence will certainly show a large negative number when that one comes out. And finally, running through Europe, the data there, I suppose the big surprise in Europe, you know, we're getting reasonably strong economic readings coming through. They're doing better than most, but we're also seeing a lot more inflation than expected, and this is a story that's developing all the way around the world. They had the August preliminary CPI came out, and it jumped from 2.2% going back in July. It was expected to lift to 2.8%. It lifted to 3%, so it lifted to 3%. But that paled compared with factory gate prices. And factory gate prices out of Europe in July, producer prices, they were at 10.2% year on year. Market thought they'd lift to 10.9%. They've lifted to 12.1% year on year. And just one or two of the anecdotal pieces that have come out of Europe or the UK of late. Things like very basic building materials, things like gyprock. Apparently, for gyprock board, the price has lifted threefold over the last 6 months. In other words, the price has gone up 300%. We're getting some large pockets of inflation just starting to pick up in parts of Europe. And so this is where, you know, I just have my caution that, you know, central banks are saying, look, we're going to read through this. We're going to keep monetary policy as if we still got deflation. We'll keep official interest rates really, really low. But I just wonder how much longer bond markets can ignore some of these inflation reads as they come through. And of course, we've got another key inflation read coming out the US this week with producer prices on Friday, and then their CPI comes out the week after. So something that's worth watching as we go through the course of later this week and into next week.